Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here, and we just ask that you bring an open mind and heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality in a way that is extremely empowering. Speaking of exploring powerful perspectives, I would like to gift my book, The Golden Key, Modern Alchemy to Unlock Infinite Abundance, to you at goldenkey.gift, where you can get the audio or ebook as my gift to you by using the code POSITIVEHEAD at checkout. All right, all you positive heads, without further ado, let's jump right into today's podcast. I am your host, Brandon Beecham. I have my lovely co-host, Dalian the Alien, sitting across from me, staring at me in a somewhat bizarre fashion. Hello, Dalian. How are you?
Greetings and salutations.
Oh.
So the way that I'm looking at you is bizarre now?
I don't know. I just made that up.
Yeah, just... dial it back.
It felt
a
like
bit
the right
there.
Thing to say in the moment, but
it's okay.
Had no relevance into anything that was actually happening.
I'm just funny looking, so of course, whichever way I look at you, it's going to be somewhat odd.
Yeah, that's true. It's always a little offsetting.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm beautiful,
which is why we don't do video podcasts.
Right.
All right. What's going on with you today? Anything exciting, interesting?
I suppose you could say that, but perhaps we should save that little bit for later in the podcast, since you're going to make a little bit of an announcement. That's kind of a cool little announcement.
I'm making an announcement?
Wink. Yeah. About music. One thing that definitely gets me always excited.
Oh, yes, yes, okay. So, as you guys know, we have, for a few episodes there, as we continue to experiment with these daily podcasts, for those of you that are maybe newly listening, we've did interview podcasts once a week for we kicked off the Positive Head podcast last spring. And up until maybe a month ago, it was just once a week interviews. And we decided to start doing these daily podcasts in addition to the weekly interviews, just to kind of continually put a little bit of positive love in your life, you know, for a shorter period of time. The interviews are normally an hour to hour and a half, whereas these dailies are, you know, roughly 30 minutes. So that was kind of the idea. And we've been experimenting with different things. Well, what do we cover in these 30-minute podcasts? One of the things that we were doing was sharing music at the end, because Dalian and I are both big music lovers, musicians. That's actually what brought us together. We were in a band together many, many years ago, many moons ago. Anyway, so what we started doing, one of the experiments with these daily podcasts was leaving you with a song, something to listen to, the outro of the podcast. And we started getting flagged by some of the places we would upload it, like YouTube, well, primarily YouTube, which, you know, is really where we have the least amount of people actually listening to the podcast anyway, of course. So we haven't been doing the music for a minute, but we're going to get back to it and just try and play more like underground stuff. Things that is less likely to get flagged. And one of the things that we're going to play today is a singer, songwriter, Alia Nerio, that I really, really like and appreciate what she, you know, her lyrical content, her musical styling. She's just great. So Dalian, having been somewhat of a producer who hasn't touched music in a while, has been doing a remix of one of her songs. And so today, at the end of the show, we're going to leave you with one of her a cappella version of the song. And then sometime within the next few days, it will be you'll get to hear some of Dalian's musical masterpiece. Masterpiecery? Is that a word? No, I'm pretty sure it's not.
It is now.
It is now.
thanks.
With the remix of that song. So anyway, that's what he's referring to. Right before we started recording today, I suggested that, and he got all lit up and excited because, you know, it's been many, many years since you put any kind of music that you've worked on out there. So, so stay tuned for that. As far as jumping into stories, let's get into something What do you got mysterious and juicy for me today, Dalian?
And now for the mysterious news of the day.
I have a story that is, you could say it overlaps between something a little more scientific and the more psychedelic or trippy side of the news, which, of course, we love to touch on. It's a story from EWAO, which I've featured a couple times already, from a bit of research by Professor Benny Shannon, or Shannon, of the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. He says that Moses, in the stories of the Old Testament where he talks to the burning bush and whatnot, Moses was probably on DMT, okay? Now,
wow.
Yeah, these sort of speculative theories I've heard before. I don't think ever really in the context of the Bible, okay? Specifically the Old Testament. Okay, maybe once before. But Shannon has research that indicates the Hebrews may have had a ceremonial potion that was probably their analog of ayahuasca, because it contained, you know, according to the research he's done, possibly psychoactive chemicals found in the acacia tree and the Paganum Hermala bush, which, like, if they were using these two plants in, you know, some sort of brew that combined their psychoactive ingredients, Brandon, mm-hmm. then basically they had their own version of ayahuasca right there, because they had a DMT-containing plant and an MAOI, which is the other...
enzyme inhibitor.
Exactly, the one that prevents the breakdown of DMT in your gut, which prolongs the experience. If these guys were consuming something like an ayahuasca brew back in the day, then they were having extremely psychedelic experiences. And of course, you know, other, like I said, other researchers have speculated before that a lot of, well, in fact, we know that a lot of religious myth out there in the world cultures has been influenced highly by psychoactive substances, which, you know, like the article points out, we call drugs here now in the Western world, you know, currently.
Well, DMT is a naturally sacred. Occurring compound in the human brain. It actually exists in all mammals. So anyone listening to this, you are producing DMT in your body. It's a very simple chemical or compound that's it's very close to tryptophan, which is what makes you sleepy when you eat turkey in a few weeks. So except for it happens to be the most powerful you know, psychoactive substance that we know of. So that's a really cool story. And it makes a lot of sense that, you know, these characters would have possibly been using a substance to induce a spiritual experience and open them up to these other realms. And that's really what, you know, DMT, the accounts of DMT, if you aren't familiar with it, it's literally people taking DMT. It's like a bungee jump into other dimensions of reality. You have interactions with all kinds of beings from other dimensions, merging with the universe, going, you know, through inside of your DNA. I mean, the accounts, there's actually a book and a documentary called DMT, The Spirit Molecule. And I will be interviewing Mitch Schultz, the director
of DMT. Yeah. I thought you were going to do a little tease of that.
Yeah, that's coming up in a couple weeks, the interview with Mitch Schultz. And that's going to be a very fascinating one. So mm-hmm. it's cool that you actually have this story to share now as kind of a precursor to that. So
yeah, we've talked about DMT on the show, I think maybe once or twice before, of course, especially whenever you make mentions to ayahuasca, but
right.
DMT, that, you know, psychoactive compound, as you briefly touched on, is just fascinating from so many angles. The DMT experience itself is so profoundly really just alien to anything we know, but it's just amazingly mind-blowing.
But then it's also so common in everything, you know, in the spirit molecule. And we'll get into this in great detail in the interview with Mitch Schultz, but one of the individuals in the documentary talks about it being instead of calling it the spirit molecule, maybe call it the reality molecule. It's coloring your reality in general. So all of us are actually tripping all the time, which is how you perceive the reality that you're in. And it's really funny when you think of something like that being illegal. It's like, are you going to go start arresting every mammal? Are you going to arrest every plant that produces this chemical? You know, it's really fascinating. And you know, so tying that into spiritual experience from the Bible or any other you know, ancient spiritual text, it makes all the sense in the world. I mean, we know that people are experimenting with these things now. We know that people have been using ayahuasca, these brews, and, you know, South America and so forth for centuries to go into altered states and access other dimensions of reality. So why not, mm-hmm. you know, in the Middle East thousands of years ago?
Right, right. Plus, I'm much more comfortable with that sort of reading of the Bible and those myths as them being highly influenced by altered states of consciousness where these people were perhaps touching on something that I, from my experience, would definitely consider some sort of transcendent spiritual reality or yeah. truth
right.
That they brought back. And of course, part of the problem with religion there is that, you know, so much gets distorted and there's so much selective interpretation of things. But that's how I can sort of more comfortably wrap my brain around what those guys were you know, experiencing and then passing down, which of course we know was an oral tradition initially. So, yeah.
Well, cool. That is definitely a cool bit of mysterious news. I would actually like to share a little bit of inspiring news as well, an inspiring story.
And now for your positive story of the day.
You know, we kind of go back and forth on this. There are two different things that we've been playing around with the different structures for the daily podcast, or loose structures at very best. Well, what do we talk about? Well, we love mysterious stories, mysterious topics. We also love positive, of course, Positive Head Podcast. We want to share as much positive, you know, uplifting information as possible. And you have so much negative news out there. So we've kind of gone back and forth between the two.
Right. We've alternated.
Yeah. So today I actually saw, you know, what is an inspiring or positive story that I thought I would share as well. And it is, I found this on the Good News Network, and actually I did an interview with the founder of the Good News Network. You can find a few podcasts back, but this particular story was by Terry Turner, and you can find it, like I said, on thegoodnewsnetwork.org. Breakthrough in arid Egypt for making salty seawater drinkable. Now, as we all know, water is becoming more and more of an issue on the planet. Meanwhile, we're on a planet that's mostly made up of water. It's just got salt in it. And so anyway, just to go ahead and read what's talked about here, it says, in a country suffering from a severe water shortage, a new innovation could turn salty seawater into a ready supply for drinking and irrigation. The new filter invented by Egyptian scientists promised to make salt water drinkable using half the energy relied upon by current methods. That's been the problem, is it's too expensive, right? So it was created using a sheet-like membrane made from five simple ingredients available through North Africa, which allows a process called pervaporation, letting water vapors pass through the membrane while trapping the impurities. The salt in the water bonds with the membrane, allowing the vapor to be harvested as fresh water for drinking or irrigation. The process eliminates the need for electricity, which is used by massive desalination plants currently costing millions to operate. If mass-produced, the innovation would allow people to effectively make their own drinking water from salt water using just the membrane and a heat source such as a fire or stove burner. The ability to cheaply and easily produce fresh water supplies from the Mediterranean and from the Red Sea, which forms most of the country's eastern border, is an important milestone for Egypt, a country that is almost totally dependent on the Nile River for its supply of drinking and irrigation water. So There's a little bit more where it talks about how much, you know, Egypt uses currently and how much they need to find another 800 million gallons or something a year. And so, yeah, I think this is such an exciting development.
That's
and something.
Huge.
Yeah, it's huge. As water becomes the biggest issue of all, kind of breathing down humanity's neck as if we don't have enough problems, water shortage. Well, if we can just figure out how to inexpensively turn the water that's all around us into usable fresh water, problem solved.
Mm-hmm.
So
exactly.
Hearing something like that is, you know, something that I'm very, very, I follow closely because it is such a, you know, water is the source of all things. As Sevan Bomar in our recent interview, it is a sentient being. It is this very advanced being, and water makes up everything. So,
yeah, a concept of life on Earth as we know it mostly depends on two things. And I think out of those two, one is almost always present there, water and light, right?
Yeah.
As you said, water is a lot of really brilliant minds here in the last few years have come to that conclusion that water has become such a you know, such a hot commodity, you could say, just because of the scarcity problem now with water, that it's become the probably, or it's going to become very, very soon, the single most critical resource that we have that will, you know, drive conflict here in the near future and the economy to a huge extent. That's one thing that I thought was really interesting about the latest Mad Max movie that, of course, was such a cool flick, you know, for several reasons, I guess. But, you know, some pretty smart people figured out that the, you know, in the Mad Max franchise, right, this, like, post-apocalyptic future where fuel was traditionally the hot commodity, right? All these hot rods racing through the... In the new movie, what is the one super precious resource that, you know, the evil character hoards, basically? Water.
Yeah.
So it's just become clear that, as you said, you know, we need it to survive. And, you know, that's why I'd love to hear more about this latest beta news that you just shared.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. I know there's been advancements in other areas through other means of using, you know, salt water. And so it continues to, it seems like that's really advancing in the right direction. And that is one huge looming problem that would be off the plate, because we have our hands full on this planet without having to all start fighting for fresh water. But yeah, so that's some cool stories to share with you guys today. Moving right along, I would like to get into our quote of the day, our positive pondering, and then give my breakdown of that quote. So without further ado, the positive pondering breakdown of the day. I can tell you from experience, the effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. Jim Carrey. I love this quote. This actually comes from a graduation speech that he gave at Maharashi University in Iowa recently. And we'll play that in a moment as well, or snippets from it, not the whole thing. And it's something that I think is so important for people to understand, because we're so caught up on currency, monetary wealth, equaling success on this planet. And when you can understand, when it really sinks in with you that monetary success, currency, is, it's just one thing. It buys you a certain amount of freedom and maybe power and a potential life experience that you can have for yourself and even helping others. But really, the big win, the big currency, the big contribution, when all said and done, you can't take any of that with you. All you have is what you've, the spark that you've taken from your heart and ignited in someone else's heart. That's all any of us have. And as more, if more and more people could become aware of this, they're always looking at themselves, always judging themselves as, I'm unsuccessful. I don't have a lot of money. I'm unsuccessful. I, you know, they're so hard on themselves all the time by this fictitious made up idea of success. And we can all be successful now, right now, just from having an effect on other people in a positive way. And that's something that I personally had to really figure out. It's taken me a long time and I'm still figuring it out. You know, the balance between pursuing monetary wealth or, you know, spending my time and energy making a podcast that hopefully touches someone's life or multiple people's lives. If it touched one person's life in a profound way, this would all be worth it for me, because I understand that the most precious resource that I have is the ability to reach out in some way and give encouragement and touch another person. And as a result, it feels so good. You know, Dr. Wayne Dyer talked about this. I remember in one of his talks before he passed, he talked about an act of kindness and how it affects people. If I am to act out an act of kindness in front of, let's say, Dalen, right now, I were to do some really kind deed to you, and the audience was here to watch it. Well, what would happen is the chemicals like serotonin would be released in my brain because I'm the performer of the act of kindness. It would be released in your brain because you're the receiver of an act of kindness. And it would be released in the observer's brain because you know, they're seen and are part of that vibration, that energy of kindness. And you have the ability to do that now. We all have the ability to do that now. Start focusing on the ultimate currency. The ultimate currency is the effect you can have on another person. So instead of waking up tomorrow and beating yourself up yet again about what a loser you are and how you should be further along and you should have a bigger bank account to determine your wealth, instead wake up and say, I have the ability to have a positive effect on someone today. And I'm going to approach my life as if that was the ultimate currency. And if you can do that and you start living your life like that, the funny thing is you'll find so much reflections of success in other ways, because that is the pinnacle of success. Jim is right when he says, you know, I can tell you from experience, the effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. The good news is you don't need anything to start doing that right now.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of the Maya Angelou quote that I just recently saw, I think, only a couple months ago, that resonated so much with me. I don't know that I remember the actual quote, but it's something like, people won't remember exactly what you did or said, but they'll mostly remember how you made them feel.
Right.
And it's something that, especially here within the last few months of my life, through my personal experience, I've come to see it so powerfully true, because feelings drive so much of, if not everything we do, really.
Yeah.
I think that even if you're someone who is really, you could say, not in touch with your feelings, maybe there's some things there that you've repressed for whatever reason, it, trust me that it's there. It's, you know, there's this river, basically this underground river of emotion that, you know, runs through everyone's life. And I know that for example, for a lot of males in the past, maybe even in the recent past, we were all so brought up to believe that, you know, emotion was something that was ultimately unnecessary in certain areas of our life, that it could get in the way, that it could make you, you know, irrational, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that guys have traditionally held over women as a reason for, you know, because we acknowledge that women are more emotional and more intuitive,
yeah,
than we hold that against them sometimes.
Yeah.
And the thing is that now a lot of guys are realizing that there's great power in that as well. But yeah, like Jim Carrey is just someone that, of course, I also think of as someone who has, I guess, gone through his struggles as well. And of course, he's been, you know, hugely successful, but he's also known tragedy and, you know, hardship.
Sure. Recently, right? Even. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But you think of him as being someone who realizes so much, as someone who achieved notoriety, celebrity, fame, and fortune, portraying these like really goofy, silly characters that made people laugh, right?
Yeah.
I think that beyond that, him as a person, he realizes that the impression he has on people, and of course, he's known for being a comedian, a lighthearted, goofy person, but that is really, I think, what I get from that, is that he now enjoys and sees the true power in that,
yeah,
in lifting people up like that, not just by being goofy all the time, but by saying, you know, tremendously inspiring words like he does in that video.
Absolutely. And what I'd like to do now is actually share a few minutes of this video. It's, I think, the full, like I said, it's from a graduation speech that he gave at Maharashi University. You can find it on YouTube. In this case, I've taken just a few minutes. It's about 3 minutes edit of that. And I found this on the Journey of Purpose YouTube page. So you guys can check that out as well there. And now, without further ado, I will play a few minutes of Jim Carrey's speech.
My soul is not contained within the limits of my body. My body is contained within the limitlessness of my soul. I've often said that I wished people could realize all their dreams and wealth and fame, and so that they could see that it's not where you're going to find your sense of completion. I can tell you from experience, the effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. Because everything you gain in life will rot and fall apart, and all that will be left of you is what was in your heart. We're not the avatars we create. We're not the pictures on the film stock. We are the light that shines through. All else is just smoke and mirrors, distracting, but not truly compelling. Our eyes are not viewers. They are also projectors that are running a second story over the picture that we see in front of us all the time. Fear is writing that script. Now, fear is going to be a player in your life, but you get to decide how much. You can spend your whole life imagining ghosts, worrying about the pathway to the future, but all there will ever be is what's happening here and the decisions we make in this moment, which are based in either love or fear. So many of us choose our path out of fear disguised as practicality. What we really want seems impossibly out of reach and ridiculous to expect, so we never dare to ask the universe for it. I'm saying that you can ask the universe for it. Life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. As far as I can tell, it's just about letting the universe know what you want and working toward it while letting go of how it comes to pass. Why not take a chance on faith? Not religion, but faith. Not hope, but faith. I don't believe in hope. Hope is a beggar. Hope walks through the fire and faith leaps over it. You are ready and able to do beautiful things in this world. And after you walk through those doors today, you will only ever have two choices, love or fear. Choose love, and don't ever let fear turn you against your playful heart.
Yeah, so inspiring to hear Jim talk. Obviously a very, very wise man beyond his silliness. And, you know, just some of the things, I mean, you know, obviously that particular page, The Journey of Purpose, took, you know, some of the best excerpts from that speech and put them together there for us to enjoy. And, you know, some of the things he said, ultimately, we're not the avatars we create. We're not the picture on the pictures on the film stock. We are the light that shines through it. All else is just smoke and mirrors. And, you know, just letting that sink in. So many people buy into their avatar that this is who they are. This is, you know, I have friends that have had incredible experiences. I can think of one friend on ayahuasca having an experience in going, and that was exactly her experience. And she's already an intuitive. And when she did, you know, ayahuasca, she said it was just incredible, where she went to the realm of the oversouls and saw us like these higher versions of ourselves, looking at our lives are like moment on the screen, and theirs as they're watching we're just avatars that are created by our higher self. You know, I'm this character, Brandon, you're this character, Dalian, it's all you listening, or the character, whatever your name is, whoever it is that's listening right now. But it's just a character. The true you is so much greater than that. And you need to start living like that. We all need to start living like that. Two choices, love or fear. You always have that choice in any moment. Be fearless. Love. Believe in love. Have faith in love. And when you do that, everything changes. There's, you know, no need to be perfect to inspire others. Let people get inspired by how you deal with your own imperfections. That's a quote that I saw recently. And it's such a profound one. You know, Jim, what did he say? Dealing fear disguised as practicality. Mm-hmm. And, it's so true. I would do this thing that I love. I would follow this dream that I have, would follow this passion in my heart that makes me, you know, glow. But I need to pay the bills. So I need to instead sell my soul to pay for the car that gets me to work, that then gets me back home so I can get to work the next day. And, you know, it's like, you've got to be willing to leap. You've got to be willing to put yourself out there. This is where your higher self, the universe, will meet you halfway. You know, as he put it, let the universe know what you want and be working toward it, and then let go of how it comes to you. This is where faith comes in. Not a religious faith, but a faith in understanding how the reality you're in actually operates. This is the way you co-create with your higher self, God, source, whatever you want to call it. This is the game. You meet it halfway. You say, here's what I want. You work towards it. You let go of how it comes. You know, not necessarily it's got to be the 6'2" guy with dark hair and blue eyes who's exactly 26 and a half years old. You know, or whatever it is, your vision. Instead, what are the characteristics of that individual? Maybe he's going to come to you and he's going to be 33 and 5'8", but he has the underlying characteristics of what it is that you seek. So you don't get too caught up on the particulars. You focus on the general feeling of it. You can have ideas and goals of what the particulars are, but let those go. Don't become too attached to them. And that's walking the fine line and creating your reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I saw a quote very recently here. Actually, I think it was just yesterday. The screenwriter for Star Wars, actually for the new one, Lawrence Kasdan, he's actually a pretty successful writer and director in his own right, but he's behind some of the most some of the biggest blockbusters from like the 80s, you know, a couple of these Star Wars movies, right, including The Empire Strikes Back and Indiana Jones and such. He quotes his favorite line that he ever wrote, I think, from one of the indie movies where Indiana says, I don't know how I'm going to accomplish such task, whatever, catching up to the bad guys or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm making it up as I go.
Right.
And he says that's such a true thing in my life, he says, because we, you know, I find that that's the biggest thrill. And that's what is at the heart of every adventure, every tale, really, is this act of self-definition, right? You create yourself in your own life. And it's something that even until a couple of years ago, I was really just still wrapping my brain around, because I still have, and I know that a lot of us grew up conditioned to think that you need to figure things out ahead of time, that you need to somehow have this plan.
Master plan.
Right. Of everything laid out in advance as best you can tell. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't do that, but part of your plan should be to account for the unknown, right?
Right.
Part of your plan should be to account for change, to account for, you know, many different things that will come at you that won't show up like you expect them to.
Yep.
And it's pretty fascinating, Brandon, because they actually even talk about this new Star Wars franchise that Disney's bought and everything. This lady, Kathleen Kennedy, she's also produced a lot of these movies and worked with this guy before. And they're both saying right now, like, you know, these people have an expectation of what we're going to deliver, but we're not exactly sure what that's going to be. We're making it up as we go. And we find that that's really how it should be. That's part of the
thrill. That's really what everyone's doing. You know, you have these people that are running the show that appear so in control and successful. And really, they're making it up as they go. You need to start making it up as you go. If you're sitting on the couch thinking I'm not good enough, yeah, they've got it all figured out. They're just really good at pretending like they're in control.
Exactly.
Like sucking at something is the first step to being good at something. So start, you've got to dig down deep and you've got to overcome those fears within yourself and that you're not good enough. You're all good enough. We're all good enough.
Right.
Just being here as you are, being brave enough to take form in the physical dimension in this wild, separation existence, you know, separation from your natural state is connected with all that is in this warm, cozy, you know, eternity. And you've stepped outside of that and forgotten what you are and who you are. And just doing that was so brave and bold. You're already a raving success. Anything you do from here is icing on the cake. And if you can start adopting that perspective and giving yourself a break, go easier on yourself. We're all so critical of ourselves, and you're right where you need to be, right on track. All the mistakes, all the missteps are part of the journey. And the journey is the goal. So you're right where you need to be perfectly.
Right. I love hearing that thing that you said recently where you said where free will meets destiny. I thought that was such a cool combination of concepts that you could think of as somehow being opposed, really. But I see a lot of things like that being complementary rather than opposites. Right.
Right. Right.
And this is one that seems like another dimension of that same thing. Is the fact that you could even look at it from like a bird's eye view or a grander perspective if you believe in, you know, such things as reincarnation, for example, right? We all came to this world with a plan. We all chose certain conditions. We supposedly chose our parents, chose our life, the conditions of our birth, right?
Right.
And our upbringing. And we did that for the purposes of experiencing certain things that we know we wanted to experience. But the free will meeting destiny idea, to me, plays out in this regard with the plans meeting, this moment of pure creation in the now where a lot of it is improvising, right?
Right.
So your plans count for, you know, only so much. And then in the moment, you're going to have to improvise. That's okay. That's fine. Right. That's part of the process.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're all here working it out and figuring it out together. And I thank you all, as always, for listening to us talk openly as we attempt to figure all this stuff out for ourselves and share with you in the process. We're certainly students first and teachers second.
Right. And so, as we just told you, we are making it up as we go.
We're making it up as we go in a good way, in a very good way. And we hope that it's benefiting you. And if it is, you know, the one thing that I really want to ask, if I've had any benefit, if Dalian's had any benefit, if any of these people that we've shared have had any benefit on your life, first off, I'm so grateful to have that opportunity. Second, we would love it and be absolutely thrilled if you would, you know, spread the positivity and share that with others. You know, if you can find one other person that you think would grow and appreciate what it is we're talking about, let them know about the Positive Head podcast. One person, that it helps us with, you know, all the effort that we're putting in here. And our goal is to, you know, reach as many ears, obviously, as possible. Our intention is truly pure. It's a labor of love over here. So, you know, if you join us in that, we are grateful. And of course, give us a review on iTunes. That's certainly helpful. And also send in any questions that you have. We want to interact more. Our listener base is growing. Our questions submitted or not. So, you know, if you've been listening and tuning in regularly and you feel like you're a part of this, well, you are, because without you, this would be, you know, Dalian and I talking to ourselves, which we did for many, many, many years before we started recording. So you are a part of this show, and we want you to feel like more a part of the show, and we want to interact with you. So please, you know, go to the website. You can contact us through the contact page. On the podcast page, there's actually where you can even record through your computer microphone and leave us a voicemail. And we're happy to address any questions or thoughts, or, you know, even if it's just to say hi. We love to hear from you guys. It really makes our day. So, yeah, thank you for tuning in to another Positive Head podcast. And what we're going to do, as we mentioned at the top of this, is we're going to leave you with a track from Aylia Nerio. You can find, the spelling of that is A-Y-L-A, first name, N-E-R-E-O. Her website is aylianerio.com. And you can actually name your price, this particular, for any of her music. And this particular song that we're going to play is called Let It In, and it is off her album Hollow Bone. And I absolutely love her music. I love what she stands for. I love what she talks about. Obviously, a light to the world. And so, yeah, hopefully maybe she'll pick up some fans through us sharing the song. And forthcoming, Dalian's remix of this song within the next few days. It's been many, many years since Dalian has put music out there, and he is quite the talent, as you guys will see. So check out the acapella version of Aylia Nerio's Let It In, and then you can compare the Dalian version coming soon.
Well, this original is very pretty.
Yeah, just hearing it alone is beautiful, so it's kind of great to hear it by itself and then hear what you do with it afterwards. So I look forward to hearing the finish. I've heard snippets of it when you've been working on it, but I look forward to hearing the finalized version as well. Also, before we cue up today's song, as a quick reminder, don't forget to download the Golden Key audio or ebook as my free gift to you at goldenkey.gift using the Golden Key code POSITIVEHEAD. And please, if you enjoy my gift, leave a positive review on Amazon so others can unlock their lives with the help of the Golden Key as well.
Right to the edges, right to